Hello and welcome to another edition of the Spodcasters. I'm Matt Tate and I'm joined today by Tom Keegan. We're going to start talking about a lot of football in a hurry, and we're going to break this thing down position by position over the next couple of weeks and throw up all kinds of podcasts. So stick with us throughout that. Today we're going to start with the offensive line for KU, a position that both carries a lot of importance and a lot of intriguing battles and interesting players. So Tom, say hello and say the first thing that comes to your mind when you think of KU's offensive line as it looks in April 2014.
Hello.
Thank you. I was going to be really upset if you forgot that part.
I was unbeatable at Simon Says. The first thing that comes to mind for me is not enough Big 12 ready tackles on this roster. I might even go so far as to say no more than one, and you really should have a minimum of three. You've got Damon Martin as a right tackle who looks more like a guard because he's not your prototypical tall guy, but he does have a good wingspan, and his feet are good enough for tackle, I think.
Especially for right tackle. In this, you know, this situation.
Right, and he's above average strength-wise for tackle.
Yeah.
So I think that his versatility has bailed them out because there was a real shortage on the roster of tackles. Then at left tackle, you've got Pat Lewandowski and Zach Fondle. Fondle's a pretty good pass protector, but neither one of those guys were a particularly good run blocker.
Right.
I think that those are both guys you would want to go into the season as backups.
For sure.
And one of them, unless Williams, the junior college transfer, ends up to be a special guy and a quick learner and everything else, one of those guys will be the starter, and I think that's a key position, and I think that's this unit is the biggest question mark, or if you want to be more blunt, the biggest weakness on the Kansas football team is the offensive line.
Do you think, I've thought about this a lot with that position specifically, do you think it's possible, you know, the cliche about quarterbacks is if you have two, you don't have one,
right.
You've asked about that recently, you've talked about that a lot. Do you think if you have two left tackles, and obviously one of them maybe isn't, you know, Big 12 starting caliber, at least not right away, do you think you can get by with rotating them both in there and maybe that actually helps the position, or is that a weakness too?
No, I think it does help, and I think they probably will rotate to an extent, but the reason they're rotating isn't the reason you want it to.
Right, right.
The reason they're rotating is neither is a Big 12 starter caliber left tackle.
Yeah.
So you go to the next best thing, which he's done a lot on the defensive line, which is to rotate fresh bodies in and out. So maybe they'd be a little bit better if they're fresher.
Yeah, that's what I wondered that. At the same time, we've heard over and over for hundreds of years how important continuity, chemistry, all those things are on the O-line.
Yeah, and the other four positions, there's been a lot of continuity.
Yeah.
And, you know, those guards are set in stone for the second year in a row, Smithberg on the right and Alu on the left. That's really good, and they're building chemistry with the mid-year JUCO transfer, Kean Houghton, which is good. So I think when you've got that much cohesiveness, if you're alternating two guys and it's the same two guys, then you're fine.
Just one spot, right? Yeah. If you're doing it all over the place, as was the case last season, you got a big mess on your hands.
Yeah.
But you can get by with just the one spot. I agree with that. It's interesting you brought up Houghton because I watched him closely at the practice we were able to go see. Different than the spring game because at the practice you could get right there, almost be, you know, in the group, watching the drill closely, and I really enjoyed the opportunity to do that. He looks ready. I mean, he looks like he's comfortable at that position already. He seemed to be a quick learner. He seemed to make good calls. He seems to be confident. He seems to know exactly what he's doing there.
And he just looks strong.
Yeah. Yeah, he does. He does. I remember talking to him when he was still being recruited. I think either right after he committed or maybe even before. He told me, I mean, his versatility was a big thing. He could play either guard spot, and he also had played center. But he told me at the time that center was his favorite position and the one he hoped he would come here and play. It looks like that's the case right away. I mean, he's really made some strides this spring and done well. So
That's a great sign that he wants to play center.
Yeah.
Because if we're a center guard and he wants to play guard, that means he's shaky with his snaps maybe, and it means he doesn't want to be responsible for all the things a center's responsible for. So the fact that he likes that position better tells you he's probably a real smart guy who's confident in his abilities all across the board.
Let's take personnel out of it. Let's take who's going to play where or who's going to fit where. What's the one thing you're most looking forward to discovering about this offensive line? Whether that comes, you know, throughout the rest of the offseason here or week one, week two, October, whatever it is. What's the one thing you're most looking forward to finding out?
I think how they try to mask the deficiencies and by what plays they call to try to mask them and stuff.
Sure.
It becomes interesting. And let's face it, when you're the left tackle, you're usually going against someone who's real high up on draft boards.
Yeah, a lot of very times first round picks. I mean,
Oklahoma, Oklahoma State,
Texas.
Yeah. So what do you? I mean, you're talking about some serious stuff there. So what do you do?
Right.
I think you have a quarterback who can sprint out and do a lot of things with that.
That's what's cool about John Regan, both being the offensive coordinator and the offensive line coach. You know, it's his call to kind of figure out what to do, and I think I'm excited about that as much as anything. Just to see, it kind of goes the same answer that you had, but you know, I think the guy's such a fantastic coach, and especially a teacher of the position of the game, all that. I think it's really cool to see in those situations. Well, what does he do?
Right.
Does he go right at the guy? You know, a lot of times when the defense has a stud, sometimes you attack right at him, and that throws things off and changes things up and actually benefits the offense. It's kind of counterintuitive in some ways, but you know, and it's not only one answer. It could be a series of things that he does over the course of the game. So.
Right. And last year there were two positions, face it, that made it difficult to evaluate the quarterbacks.
Yeah.
One was the wide receivers, and the other was the offensive line. Well, and they upgraded the coaching there both tremendously with Keesaw and Regan. Regan coaching the offensive line, Keesaw the receivers. But with the offensive line, there are two factors involved here. It's the instruction you're getting, but every bit as important is the body building that takes place. And that was a weak, physically weak set of tackles last year. So only time will take care of a lot of the deficiencies on the offensive line. Whereas if you've got some athletic guys who just haven't been coached up, like the wide receivers, coaching can take care of that a lot quicker than you can develop an offensive line.
Sure, sure.
That's why I think that the shortage or the too many misses, I guess, and recruiting high school offensive linemen in recent years, going back to the Turner Gill years, is really still hurting them, and they've done a nice job inside masking it with good junior college recruiting, but they have to upgrade their offensive line high school recruiting. They know it. They're doing it. They're going after it.
Right. Yeah, that's, I mean, it's easy to identify, a much more difficult thing to actually do.
Right.
So,
and then you got to have time to see who it clicks with and who it doesn't.
Right.
So you've got to have numbers. They're even short numbers-wise right now.
Yeah, I think that's one of the things that, in terms of good news, is one of the positive things that's come out of spring is the fact that a lot of these guys have been in their spots, and they are developing some chemistry and continuity. I mean, Damon Martin played every snap in the spring at right tackle.
Right.
He's used to it now. You know, he doesn't have to go into the summer as that being an experiment. He doesn't have to go into fall camp and the season wondering, well, what do I do there? Can I do it? Can I not? Not only that, he knows just next to him is going to be Mike Smithberg, and he's comfortable with him.
Right.
And he's had time to develop that. And Smithberg's had time, just like Nalu has on the other side, to be comfortable next to Keon at center. So, you know, that thing, I think because of that, it remains to be seen how good the line will be, how well they will perform, all of that stuff. That's still big-time question marks. But just purely looking at it from the standpoint of this team last year didn't really figure out the offensive line until midway through when Gavin Howard went to center, finally.
Yeah.
And that was, you know, the TCU game, which was, I don't know, week five or something like that. If they didn't get it figured out until week five last year, and they're close to having it pretty well laid down in the spring, that shows you how far ahead of everything they are. At least in terms of how it compares to last year, which may not mean a ton, but it's got to mean something. So let's just talk about a couple of other names that we haven't mentioned that are factors up front, and then we'll get out of here for this one. Brian Beckman, a guy you like to talk about. His name comes up around here quite a bit. We're both high on him long term anyway. Is he ready to go?
By the time the season starts, maybe he could be the backup right tackle.
Yeah.
And then you could shift Peters to right backup right guard. You at least have bodies. Joe Gibson is a backup center. We mentioned the two guys at left tackle. Any ideas on who the backup left guard would be? Would it just be Peters as well, or would it be Gibson? Or
that's there's some interesting options, and the thing that's cool about the offensive line is a lot of times they like to develop a swing guy, who can,
right,
like you said, who could back up a couple of different spots or maybe play guard and tackle.
Maybe two swing guys. Peters could be one, and maybe Gibson could be another.
Yeah, so Joey Bloomfield's a guy that's been getting some work in the spring. Again, they only had 11 offensive linemen in the spring. So,
and Sean Connolly doesn't figure in it.
Right, yeah. So, there's a couple more coming. I think it'll be interesting. Some of those, Apa Vicenia, big dude. He'll be a true freshman, but he's a big dude.
Yeah, his film was unbelievable.
I love watching it. It was still one of the most enjoyable films I've ever watched.
Usually it's running back film that is awesome, but in this case it was just so unusual.
Trucking guys. He's a big dude. And then Jacob Bragg at center. I he'll be a true freshman as well. I wouldn't count him out of the mix. He's
probably
really
gonna
smart
redshirt.
Kid. I think that would be the ideal situation.
And that's a good example of how they're addressing it. They really do need to pick it up with the high school offensive line.
Right. And I don't think you ever hope those guys have to come in and play, but you never know. I mean, it wouldn't surprise me if either of those guys finished on the 2-deep by the start of the season. It probably won't happen, and they hopefully will be able to redshirt him and develop him and keep him here a long time. But names to consider, names you have to throw out there just to think of. So one thing that gets overlooked, and then we'll get out of here. I think so many people think when we talk left tackle, we think Zach Fondahl and Pat Lewandowski. And neither guy, because we've seen them play and because they had their struggles at times and were in and out of the lineup as well, neither guy really gets you excited.
Right.
It's important to remember, though, right, that both guys could have gotten a lot better. I mean,
yes,
they aren't
what
they were.
Getting better coaching. In fact, I thought Fondahl's body looked better already, and that's a good sign. And I'm not saying they're bad, but I'm saying they're going against
for
Big
where
12.
They play. Yeah,
that is week in and week out. They're just facing a freaking stud who's big and long and quick.
Yeah, that's true.
It's a tough, tough job.
That is true. So a lot of interest, a lot of intriguing things happening up front, and as much as anything, it will be hugely important how this group performs toward figuring out how good this team can be. If they do well, they might have a chance to have their best season in a while. If they struggle again, the chance probably goes out the window, and it's probably going to be another long year. So we'll see. I like a lot of these guys. I like their toughness. I like some of the experience, like you mentioned, Nalu and Smithberg having
two
experience
really
and just
strong
being
guys.
Settled in.
Strong guys.
Veterans.
You hear nothing but positive things about how they performed during this spring.
Right, and I'll be, last thing from me, I think I'm really interested to see what Damon Martin looks like, because he seems like a really, really cool option to slide out there. If he is strong, does he play mean? Does he play nasty? Does he take that identity you got to have to be a tackle? We'll see.
I tell you, Reagan took a look at his film, and right away, because Reagan doesn't just...
there's no prototypes.
He doesn't pin him. Look for the word. He doesn't back himself into a prototype corner.
Yeah.
He can think outside the box, and he saw a potential tackle in Damon Martin. And obviously, everything he's seen since has told him that he was right about that.
Yeah.
Not that they have great options there, but Damon Martin's always graded out pretty well. And
yeah.
There's always a bit of a mystery why he didn't play more.
Yeah. Some mental things, just the light not coming on, some maybe some classroom type things too. I mean,
it's all just kinds learning of things the position, factoring. Yeah.
Yeah. So we'll see, but he's definitely getting his chance, and the two deep is pretty interesting and still to be probably shaped out all throughout the offseason. So there's our first early look at the offensive line. We'll do it again sometime not too far from now, but things have to change before we come back and just tell you the same things. So we'll let it play out, and we'll be back to talk more offensive line. But definitely check out the rest of our series as they pop up. Thanks for listening to this Spodcast, and we'll talk to you guys next time.